Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Here's a little thought experiment. Just say there was no such thing as Christmas. Just say the event that we remember at this time of year, December 25, connected to the birth of this person, Jesus Christ. Just say that birthplace, that birth event never actually happened. And so the event we now celebrate as Christmas never actually happened. How would you be different? How would I be different? How would history be different? How would the world be different? As we were sitting here, what might be different as a result of that one event not happening? That's what we're going to explore over the next few minutes. Dr. Greg Clark is with us. He's the CEO of the Bible Society and a director and co-founder of the Center for Public Christianity. The Reverend Dr. Keith Garner is superintendent of Sydney's Wesley Mission. It's one of the largest community service organizations in Australia. And Dr. Chris Forbes is senior lecturer in ancient history at Macquarie University with a particular interest in early Christianity. What a brains trust we have here on Open House 2010 finale. So please welcome them. Thank you very much. Greg, let me start with you. Let's just start with Christmas itself. The fact is that the actual event was going before the Christians came along and then took it and turned it and gave it a little bit of a twist. How would Christmas be different now if that kind of original festival that was taken over was still kind of going today?
I should say, Sheridan, so much for the brains trust though. My brain is still mush after that song, which is just so powerful. That was amazing.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
But you're right though, the Christians did kind of remix old pagan festivals and say, well, we should celebrate this in a different way. And I reckon today, if we hadn't had Christmas, we'd just be celebrating whatever the dominant power told us to celebrate. And from your last segment with John Casimir, that'd be the almighty dollar, right? And that's pretty much what is celebrated at Christmas time these days. But there was this sort of Greco-Roman celebration that sort of celebrated the return of the sun, S-U-N, and the Christians, after a bit of time, said, well, that's kind of the turning point, the winter solstice, but we could replace the festival of the sun with the festival of the sun, S-O-N, you know, very creative kind of move. And I think Christians are quite good at this, actually, kind of taking an element of culture that is already kind of enjoyed by the culture and giving it a twist and saying, this is where the reality kicks in. This is where God is part of what you enjoy. So they took over the party, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that your centre, you're a director of anyway, the Centre for Public Christianity has been talking about recently is the fact that there are various values that actually made their way into our world, the Western world, as a result of the birth of Jesus. One of them is humility. We had a completely different understanding of humility before BC, basically, before Christ.
That's right. My colleague John Dixon's working on this at the moment, actually, the concept of humility, because, and Chris knows a lot about this, in the ancient world, I mean, humility wasn't really seen as a virtue. It's actually a bad thing to be humble. And Jesus kind of turned that on his head by saying, you know, this value, humility, is something we should hold as precious. He humbled himself, came from the Father, humbled himself to become a man. Humility is actually valued by Christians in a way it really wasn't valued before.
Mm. Can you throw anything else into that, Chris? I mean, that is a fascinating idea, especially as Australians, when we're kind of really a big for the, you know, we don't like the tall poppy thing, you know, we kind of really value the value of humility.
We do, and what we don't realise is that in the ancient world it was taken for granted that humility was the proper attitude for a slave. Mm. Being that way was appropriate. It wasn't a virtue for anybody else. It was a virtue for a slave. So humility was simply looked down upon.
There you go. There you go.
The other value that is really interesting is being good to your neighbour. Australians love the idea of the neighbour, right? There's another TV show about that. But you know, the Jewish people knew it was important to love your neighbour, right? It was there all through the Hebrew Bible. But Jesus took it a lot further with things like the parable of the Good Samaritan, where he said, okay, you may feel that person's a bit foreign to you, or you may feel that person's unappealing, or they're even frightening to you, but if they're in need, they're your neighbour. Hmm. And then he took it even one step further and said, actually, you should even love your enemies like they were your friends. You should pray for those who are persecuting you. That's radical stuff. That was new.
Hmm. Which connects with love. I wanted to ask you about love. How would love be different as well if there had been no Jesus?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. And of course, you know, Christians don't have a monopoly on love. You know, love is part of human experience. But we know that Bible verse, right? God so loved the world that he sent his son, so those who believed in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, that's the famous verse. Well, that kind of love that's being talked about is sacrificial love. That's the Father showing his love for the world. That's what Christmas is all about, the Father giving the Son to the world. So Jesus taught some radical things about love as well, that you could love the unlovely. That's a new thought. It's pretty revolutionary. He hung out with the people who were considered sinners in his day and said, these are the people God wants. That's the kind of love that Christianity brought into the world.
Mm. Chris Forbes, the whole idea, you just touched on it before, about humility being an appropriate virtue for a slave. How else then was our understanding of humanity changed? We're getting ever so esoterical, but it's a lot of fun, isn't it, folks? You will like this. I love these conversations. I could go for hours talking about these conversations.
Just take notes.
Our understanding of the human person, how did that change as a result of the birth of Jesus?
One of the important ways in which it changed is that ancient society didn't see the society as having any particular duty to the poor, to the weakest. If you were the poor, if you were the weakest, that was just your bad luck. But with Christianity comes along the concept that society actually has a responsibility for even the nobodies. Precisely because, as Greg was saying, Christ spent so much time with the outsiders, with the outcasts. And so the idea began to be built in to society through the Christian church that society had some kind of a duty. And this leads us to the idea that every individual is precious because every individual is in the image of God. Whoever they are, they're still in the image of God. Now, that idea was huge. Some Stoic philosophers had got close to it, but they'd never tried to build it in into practice.
I think we take that for granted in Western society, the idea that we're all equal, right? We just say, yeah, that doesn't everyone believe that? But they didn't.
But they didn't. So I just wonder what the world would be like if we hadn't had that. I know it's an unanswerable question, but just what might the world be like if we didn't?
Well, you do see it in other cultures, of course, other cultures where that teaching is not so prominent, and human beings are stratified into those that matter and those that don't. So religion does make a difference. All religions are not the same. You've got to look and see the outworkings of the various teachings.
I think what I'd want to say really is that we've been around for about a couple hundred years trying to do this kind of stuff. What we'd say is, if we didn't celebrate Christmas in this way, things might just be the same. But I think that we wouldn't live in peace with the poverty and the hurt that exists in our world. That's always been around. I mean, we've got the ability to discard people and the poor in our society very easily, despite all the things that Chris has said, which is quite true about love and poverty. However, there is that feeling that we ought to do something about it, even if we don't do something about it, if you follow me, Sheridan. That sense of a feeling, and I think it's a real place to be in, and I think this is a time when we realise the actions we take can make a difference. And from a Christian perspective, which is where I come from on this, I think when you combine the Christian faith with the kind of compassion for those who are hurting, you really can make a difference.
We're just kind of asking this question: how would life be different now if there was no such thing as Christmas? If there was no, if the birth of Jesus had never happened? That's what we're talking about tonight. Keith Garner is from Sydney's Wesley Mission, Greg Clark from the Bible Society, and Chris Forbes from Macquarie University. This is Open House right across the nation. Keith Garner, leading this huge organisation, Wesley Mission. I mean, at Christmas time, this would be obviously a big time for your service, your ministry, actually, with serving the homeless and looking after people.
Sheridan, it is in terms of the homeless. We have lots of volunteers, you know, and they all ring up. Everybody wants to come on Christmas Day and serve dinner, let me tell you, you know. I feel like saying to them, come back in July and I can do something for you. Because it seems to me that the work we're involved in is not just about doing things so that we might feel good. It is actually about making a difference. You're right that Christmas is there, probably because it exposes need. At this time of the year, we're conscious of the families that are hurting in our cities and in regional areas of Australia where families are finding it tough, where they've got in over their heads on trying to pay mortgages that banks and other institutions have allowed them to get involved in. There's all kinds of social issues I think we've got to speak clearly about. It exposes those needs, but I think that the willingness, and this is something that I feel very strongly about, and Wesley Mission always has, that we believe in naming the name of Jesus too, somehow linking our Christian faith with this compassionate work. And that's not really so popular today. You know, there are many doing this thing. There are many concerned about justice and right, but not so many who try to bring the two together. And for me, biblical faith and actions belong together, you know, and I don't think you can separate them. And Christmas exposes the need.
Yes, well put. Now let's just again continue our thought experiment. there wouldn't be a Wesley mission without a Christmas.
No, because 200 years ago, a group of people got together to begin the early Methodists. They were good people because some of them were selected by judges in England to come and start the Wesley mission. They were some of the original convicts who came to Australia, and they've got it, you know, at last. And the reality is that history is bound up in this Jesus story. And at times during that history, there could have been times when we've been tempted to say, let's put the Christian faith to one side here and just do the good, because there's certainly a lot of good done by people who are not Christians. I really believe that's true. However, if you hold the two together and trace that history, the hospitals, the schools, the work in prisons, when I think of Elizabeth Fry in prisons, the hospitals, which is hospitality, caring for people, lots of that just has its roots in the Christian community. And we should own it and embrace it and celebrate that.
Indeed. Chris, take us further there. Again, we don't, like Greg was saying before, we don't actually recognise the fact that, as Keith has mentioned, hospitals, orphanages, all of those kinds of things sprout out of the Christian story.
Universities, schools for public education, and one of the things that comes out of Christianity's history in the most remarkable way is the strong sense that the individual has the right, for the sake of conscience, to stand against their society. Now, in the ancient world, that got you thrown to the lions. But the experience of having Christians thrown to the lions taught Christians in society that they had to give people the right of conscience, even against the whole consensus of their society. That can't be taken for granted. That right that the individual has to stand by their own conscience, that's crucial to the whole of our society and culture.
Freedom of thought, freedom of belief, freedom
Absolutely.
Of speech. Yeah, all goes back to that. Yeah, labour laws as well. And I guess, you know, going back to you, Keith, and go back to your homeland, William.
Homeland's Wilberforce. Australia now.
Sorry.
Except at the SCG when it'll be very hard.
Loyalties divided. but I'm thinking about the William Wilberforces of the world, you know, championing the causes against slavery.
Yes, I mean, writers like Charles Kingsley writing stories like The Water Babies, challenging children going up chimneys, laws to change what's possible. A lot of that has its roots. The early trade unions and some of the best stuff that they did to make it possible for people to work. Tulp Little Martyrs, some that came out to Australia here. Lots of that has its roots really in the Christian faith. And fighting for laws that make it decent, fighting for the rights of women too, that were easily discarded in history, has its roots in the Christian faith. And I think we're bang on this. We won't be ostracised until we're out of touch, when our history tells us we've been bang in touch right throughout that history.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can just butt in there, Sheridan. I think often the worst bits of the Christian story are the bits that people remember, the bits where we've got it wrong, and all the good stuff that's been done sort of disappears in the size until people feel like the church has only brought bad into the society. But if you weighed up the scales, you know, the contribution of Christianity to Western societies in particular far outweighs the problems that it might have caused.
I've heard it said that we're fish who don't know we're wet. Right. We're actually in this experience. We don't recognise, we don't know how much we've been shaped by the very culture that actually has been influenced by the Christian faith. I've been asking this question: what if there was no such thing as Christmas? What if Jesus Christ had never been born? How would the world be a little bit different? Something that's a bit of a kind of a, I guess, a pet area for you, Greg, is the whole area of art, culture, literature. You did your PhD in literature or something like that, didn't you?
I did, you've got it.
Yeah. Just take out Jesus from history, take out Jesus from art, from literature. How would things be different?
Yeah, well, you know, Western art and literature and music and the whole field is just strewn with Christianity. It's everywhere, from the great cathedrals of Europe to the art galleries of the world to all the storytelling we do. It's shaped very much by Christian thinking. Think of Michelangelo's David or Sistine Chapel, but also closer to home, you know, going to St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney and you'll see John Coburn paintings on the wall. He was inspired by the stories of creation and redemption that you see in the scriptures. Go to U2 on Tuesday night if Bono doesn't turn up tonight to tell you himself, and I'll be there and I'll be listening to lyrics that are drawn from scripture sung
That's
by
right.
U2. So, you know, it's just Christianity and the arts in the West go together. Actually, can add one point there. In literature, there was a chap called Eric Auerbach. If you want to come to Macquarie Uni and do a course on him with me, you can. But he said that Christianity radically changed storytelling because it used to be about heroes and military conquerors and that type of person. Homer in his Odyssey, not Homer Simpson, the other Homer. And Christianity changed it so it could be about everyday people, because the gospel meant that everyone mattered. So at that profound level, storytelling was changed by Christianity.
Is that right? That's fascinating. Because when you think about it, again, I just kind of go back to the tall poppy syndrome that we have in Australia. I know there are other causes for that. But again, we celebrate those everyday heroes. Look at the castle. You know.
Well, I think Auerbach would say Christianity made the difference.
Yeah, there you are. Okay, now there's been a whole heap of phrases that have slipped into our everyday language as well. And Chris, I know that you've thought that through, just the kind of words and phrases and sentences that have just kind of slipped in.
When you describe somebody who's absolutely decent and say, salt of the earth, who said that first? You are the salt of the earth, said Jesus. When you say, you've got to turn the other cheek, it goes back to him. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, Jesus said it first. Don't cast your pearls before swine. What about the blind leading the blind and then they both fall in the ditch? What about camels going through the eye of a needle? Unforgettable image. Just think about it and think how ridiculous it is. The phrase, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And going on a notch, we wouldn't have road to Damascus experiences if Saul of Tarsus hadn't been on the road to Damascus and met with Jesus. What about money is the root of all evil, the best known misquotation from the Bible, which actually says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. All of these phrases we wouldn't even have in the English language if it wasn't for Jesus and the early Christian movement that came after.
So we've looked at hospitals and healthcare, and we've looked at art and literature, and looked at sentences, statements, ideas, and people. We have to touch on people. I mean, again, Keith, I go back to John Wesley, who is obviously the one whose Wesley Mission is named after. You think of those historical people. If there was no Jesus, if there was no Christmas, just where would the world be without that life-changing world history-making events that actually came through those men and women?
Yeah, I mean, there's parts of Cornwall, right in the west of England, where in fact smuggling was really rampant, that crime was very high. And for over a period of 10 years, it dissipated. It disappeared, really, in many ways. And people said, why did that happen? And they said, John Wesley passed this way. And for me, if I was asked in my own life, I wouldn't even have sat here were it not for one night that I met Jesus Christ. That's what made the difference. And I remember a song sung years ago, and it had some simple lyrics. If ever there was just one day that I could wish would never pass away, it would be the day that I found out about Jesus. And that, for me, is the heart of Christmas, and it's what changes lives. It's changed lives in the past, and it's changing lives today.
I think that's a beautiful point to end on, don't you think? Please thank our Brains Trust in many ways tonight. Keith Garner, Chris Forbes, and Greg Clark.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.